from Tobacco Republic in Loomis, California. This is Beyond the Humidor, a cigar podcast for the rest of us, with your host, Greg Perry, Louis Starr, and I am Scott Robinson. This episode's featured guest, tobacconist Craig Perry.
Good afternoon, morning, evening, depending on where you're listening to. It is Monday for all of us, and it is Veterans Day. So I just want to take a quick moment to say thank you to all our veterans out there that are listening to us, and to one of our hosts, Louis, thank you for your service. It's a great pleasure to be able to record with you, and I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And I'm going to echo the same sentiment. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for all those veterans and active duty as well who stay up at night and keep our enemies awake at night as well.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to welcome everybody to a new edition of Beyond the Humidor. If you've noticed, I haven't been on for a while. So this is one of my first recordings in about 2-3 weeks.
Now, I can't remember. Were you beating up 6- and 8-year-olds or were you just refereeing them?
Just refereeing. I was only refereeing. Funny story, though, when I was refereeing one, it was like 7- and 8-year-olds and two boys, and one does a well-placed roundhouse kick to the other kid's head and, you know, gets knocked to the ground, and the kid gets up, and you see these big, giant eyes, so you know tears are about to come. His dad's like, "It's okay, walk it off, walk it off." And I look at him and say, "You're okay, you're okay." And then I look over at the dad has these big eyes and goes, "God, that was bad." For those of you who don't know, I am in the process of training for my black belt in Krav Maga. My testing's in December, so I've been spending the past couple of months training for that. So that's why I haven't been present at previous shows. I've had commitments towards that and working hard to get that done. But I'm looking forward to, you know, actually, I'm very excited to be back here. And once that's done, to be here on a more regular basis. Now, let's talk about smoke for the moment. Right now, I am smoking a Davidoff Yamasa on Craig's recommendation. You know, as Craig and I were talking, he noted that Davidoff doesn't have any true full body cigars, but This works for me. I had a nice barbecue dinner this evening. Not too much, of course, because I'm in training, but I'm getting a sense of the medium body and enjoying it. As far as notes go, I have not retrohaled yet.
It's not that they don't make Maduros, just the aging. They're not as strong as you'd be expecting.
You know what? I just retrohaled it, and you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm
right
getting...
about what?
That it's not quite as strong as, you know, I guess you would call it a true Maduro.
That could be. You know, it's
or a young Maduro, one of the two.
There you go. I like that term a lot better, a young Maduro.
You know, Davidoff is one of the ones we're going to feature tonight. And, you know, Craig, what's going on? We got two features tonight, special episode for some things that are happening at Tobacco Republic this week. So what's the first one is, hey, there's a new humidor in town.
Indeed there is. We just got Davidoff in, the white label and the black label, and a couple of special items. We're also having Rocky Patel here on November 14th from 3 to 7. So you'll be able to come down and meet him, and it'll be a good time.
Now, I understand, Craig, in meeting him, Tobacco Republic's using an Eventbrite event to register. It's a free ticket, but you need to get a ticket to meet the man?
I think so, yes.
Okay. We'll get the information on that from Tobacco Republic on that. So, you know, I happen to be smoking one of my favorites. You were smoking say that one again for me.
The Yamasa.
Yamasa. That is a new one, according to what I've been looking at with Davidoff.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I am smoking absolutely one of my favorites, and it's really, really an amazing thing to be able to get it here in the shop, so thank you, Craig. I am smoking the Davidoff Winston Churchill. It was a series that they originally put out back in 2007. It was a limited run at that time. It is now a full production model. This current iteration came out in 2014. It's an amazing cigar. It is complex. I am going to butcher these names, so forgive me in advance. So it does come out of, obviously, the Davidoff Cigar Factory in the Dominican Republic. It's an Ecuadorian Rosaya wrapper, Mexican San Andreas binder, and this is going to be a long one, the filler. Dominican Republic, Paleto Mayoro Seco, Paleto Seco, hybrid of Olar Paleto Seco and Nicaraguan Seco. That's all of what they use for the filler. It gives it a really nice, very smooth, very regular flavor. Regular is the wrong word. That was terrible. It's a consistent flavor. It's complex, but you're going to get consistency through the whole smoke. It's been one of my favorites ever since I was introduced to it. And the proprietor did that several years ago when he got a box in somehow.
I wonder if the cigar ever gets constipated.
You know, it could. But I got a cure for that. It's called prunes. So how about you guys?
You guys are too funny. Yeah, I what I have on deck right now within the Davidoff line is the signature line number 2, one of Zeno Davidoff's favorite cigars. It is a Panatella. It has, you know, and what I've learned with through the years with Davidoff is a lot of their cigars in this particular line, if you will, have similar fillers. So this has a Dominican Paleto Seco, San Vicente Seco, and an Olar Seco. And obviously these are all coming out of Dominican Republic. The wrapper is an Ecuadorian Connecticut. The binder is also Ecuadorian Connecticut Habano Seco hybrid. And the notes on this one are quite interesting. The wrapper is a coffee and cream, as they say, and gives you the feel of a mild spring. The aromas are sweet cedar, tea, and a light floral essence. And that's pretty much indicative of a lot of this Davidoff line. I can remember walking down the streets of New York one day and getting this whiff of this guy's cigar, and I just had to turn around and go to the Davidoff store and pick up one because it compelled me to just go get a cigar at that moment, mm-hmm. Yeah, because it smelled that good. But it's a great experience. From a price perspective, You pay for what you get, and you get what you pay for. The Davidoff line, you know, it has a fair market price, but you're not going to spend, say, $26 and wind up with an $8 stick. You're going to get your $26 worth, and that's what I like about the Davidoff line, particularly this being one of Zeno's favorites. I haven't smoked one in a while. That's why it's on deck right now, so I can get a chance to get into this and enjoy it.
Yeah, I've been smoking the Davidoff line far less than you have, but it's such an enjoyable experience. Yes, for those that are price conscious, it might be a little bit of sting, but I can't recommend it enough to splurge once in a while. Enjoy it. I mean, that's why we all smoke cigars. It is for that pure enjoyment, and once in a while, a treat to yourself is more than deserved.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. You know, Lou, you and I talked about the Davidoff store on 5th in New York. I mean, it's a beautiful store. When I first saw it, it looked like a jewelry store to me.
Yeah.
All glass.
It's very well appointed.
Yes.
I just love the way. Well, you're on 5th Avenue, so you exactly. Can't expect anything less than that.
Right.
The ambiance of just being on 5th Avenue will, you know, compel you to walk into any particular store. But if you're looking for a cigar, that's the location to go into. And just take it all in and go slow. And it is a treat, like you say, Greg. Mm-hmm. If you're going to smoke, this wouldn't be a daily smoker for me because that would be just too costly.
Correct.
But occasionally you want to light up something that's going to, you know, please your palate, and you're going to sit back and you're not rushing through it. You got about a 45-minute to an hour and a half smoke, depending on what size, what ring gauge you're smoking. And you're going to enjoy every last minute of that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to Zeno Davidoff for his company putting out such a fine product.
Absolutely. So what are you smoking over there, tobacconist friend?
I thought you'd never ask. I'm smoking the same thing Scott's smoking. I'm smoking the Yamasa. This is a really good cigar. It's a cigar that they were working on the blend for 20 years. They were experimenting with it. The tobacco comes from the Yamasa region of the Dominican Republic, and it was made by master blender. Hopefully I wrote his name down right. Henke Kellner.
That is correct,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and the filler is Estelian Condeja filler, you know, Seiko, because it's this word we've been using constantly. We don't need to say it anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really good cigar, and I'm actually rather surprised. It's a cigar that it's a lot more complex than I was expecting. You know, you smoke it, and it's I would describe it as probably a high side of medium. It's got this sweet cedar taste,
yeah.
A little bit of earthy notes, very floral, subtly spicy, but incredibly creamy. Like for a cigar that feels like it could be on the higher side, it's just a solid medium. It's really good.
Now, you know, I'm getting more of the creaminess than the spice, but hey, you did not steer me wrong, brother. I like it a lot. I don't normally smoke Davidoff. It's one of those where, you know, the price point's a little scary for me, but I'm glad I peeped into this, and this gets me curious about the rest of the line. You know, nothing, you know, as far as a daily smoke, but something that's a nice treat.
I've yeah. seen your humidor. How is this a scary price point?
Yeah, no kidding.
Just saying.
Come on, man.
Mr. Scrooge over there. Scrooge McDuck.
I knew that was coming.
Do you dive into your vault of money on a regular basis?
I wish.
Wow, we just dated ourselves, Craig. And you know, Craig gave me a puff or two on the Yamasa he was smoking earlier this evening. I got the flavors he described were absolutely spot on. That's what I got. One of the things I got that I don't know if you're getting, when you exhale, you get a little tingle on the tongue. Anything?
Nope, not getting a tingle.
Well, this is also from the man that told me the Buffalo 10 was crap and he wasn't going to smoke it, and I had to change him otherwise. So, you know, there's no surprise there.
Hey, what can I tell you?
So, Craig, it looks like from my research into Davidoff, the Yamasa is really new. It's telling me, it's showing me a 2016 launch. So that, for a cigar brand, is pretty new for Davidoff anyway.
It's very recent, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be correct. That's about the time that I discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it, I actually got it too new. And what I should have done, and I did that with the second stick, was let it sit for a while and let it get acclimated to my humidor and dry out a little bit because it was a little wet, so it was right. A little young.
It's a very oily leaf.
And then when I had that second one, oh, man, it's phenomenal.
I'd believe it. Hey, since we're on the sitting in the humidors, you missed the humidor show. I wanted to circle back for a minute because your humidification device is really cool. Can you explain your cigar oasis that you have in your cabinet?
Absolutely. I'll go into it. I won't give the granular details, but I'll give you the high end of this beautiful Oasis Magnum 3.0. It's a new device. I buy a lot of Oasis products for the humidors that I have because I have them in my tabletops. But this one was new, and I needed something that was very low maintenance but would definitely get the job done for me. And the feature that I love the most out of everything that I could do with Set It and Forget It is there's an app you can download, and in that app, you can monitor the fluctuations of your humidor remotely, and it has an alert to let you know when the water levels are low. And as long as you have Wi-Fi, you can have access to your humidor and your humidification device. And I said, wow, this is great. So, you know, it took a few minutes to get it dialed in, but I love it. It covers the entire volume of my cabinet, and I actually have it paired with another Oasis device because I had to put one in the bottom, one up top because I wanted to make sure I had good airflow. And this thing is great. I've recommended it to a couple of folks, Scott being one of them. He picked up one recently. Another friend of ours, Roy, I think he ordered one. He may have one now. He's, you know, it's just, I'm the spokesperson for Oasis now because I'm telling everybody, if you want something that's very low maintenance but high quality and dependable, that's the way to go right now. And they've upgraded a lot of their devices where you can now have access Wi-Fi to just monitor your sticks. And you want to do that because there are times where, you know, I go away, for a couple of days, and I come back and my humidor is singing because it's low on water. And I don't know how long it's been low on water. Now I get an alert on my phone. Hey, I know I got a certain percentage of water left. I go home, fill it back up with distilled water, and I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. And it's very that simple.
Yeah, I know that would be the thing for me, is because I'll be honest with you, I set it and forget it. Now, mind you, I don't have the big cabinet that Scott and Lewis do, but I can tell you right now, I'm pretty much into, I have two out of my six humidors running and a whole hell of a lot of Ziploc bags, because four of my humidors, I set them, forgot them, and now they have to be reseasoned again. So that's a really cool app and a really cool device.
Yeah, and the price point is not going to hurt your wallet. I think I paid less than $200 for that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just purchased mine, and my humidification unit is 2 days old, actually.
Yeah.
And I got a deal on Amazon where I got their credit card, and they took $60 off. So I actually paid like around $130 for mine.
There you go.
And I mean, it's a great device. It was very easy to set up.
Yeah.
The beauty is I had the Cigar Oasis 2.0, the Magna 2.0, and it comes with the two fans that you connect, and real delicate wires. So if you screw around with it too bad, you're going to pull the wires out.
Yeah.
It's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But this one has more powerful fans to blow the moisture up.
Yeah.
So you don't have to deal with fans if you don't want to.
Right.
You know, they have, and here's the really crazy thing, is that they show in the instructions that you can hook up to the smaller fans, but I couldn't find them on the Cigar Oasis website. It's just real weird, but I didn't need them anyway. And we had spoken about this, I think, yesterday, because I wasn't sure if it was quite dialed in, but as a matter of fact, I just pulled the app up on my phone. I'm sitting at 69. It's giving me the ambient temperature.
Yeah.
And the beauty is that they've got those dialed in at 70 degrees. Now, I have like four hydrometers that I bought from Amazon, and, you know, I put them throughout my humidor, and I was getting like crazy fluctuating readings where, you know, the bottom was bloody 80% humidification. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I'm sitting here rearranging the humidor three and four times. So I just left it alone today.
Yeah.
Or actually late yesterday, left it alone, let it get up to the point, and then I just kind of tested my hydrometers to the unit and realized that the hydrometers were like anywhere from 8 to 10 degrees off.
Yeah.
So that's where my problem was. So I said, okay, so I'm going to believe the unit because, you know, they say that is dialed in at 70% humidity.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be. So that's the go-to for me, and it's running great.
Yeah, it's a very accurate unit. So, you know, there's no question about what your ambient temperatures are or the RH factor is in your humidor from it. So it definitely, guys... You know, spend the money, it's worth it. You know, you put several hundred dollars worth of cigars in your humidor, you want to make sure you maintain that and take care of your investment in cigars. So it's definitely way to go.
He said 100.
Yeah, well, I can echo that because I've seen both of your guys' cabinets. They're one, beautiful, high-quality cabinets. Two, you both have an extensive collection, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be given smokes out of both of your humidors, and they're perfect. So the system works amazing.
Yeah, well, Scott, I had to say hundreds because my wife listens to these podcasts.
Oh, yes.
I know nothing. I saw nothing. I heard nothing.
See, my wife doesn't listen to it, so I'm not too worried.
Patty, there's a secret stash under the stairs. Look there.
So...
Thanks, Craig.
Great.
Love you, honey.
There's about to be a homicide in Loomis tonight.
And don't forget to check the closet. That box that says it's labeled, you know, insurance and taxes. You just open it up. There's a couple of papers on top. That's where the rest of them are, too.
Damn you, Craig.
Well, and see, the sad part is, in Scott's house, they're hidden in wine boxes.
Oh. Like his wife would never look there.
No, never.
Oh, sure.
So, Davidoff is coming.
Davidoff is here.
Good. Glad you said that. So what do we know about Davidoff? Aside from it's not the everyday smoke for most people, which is cool. So a few things I found on Davidoff. Actually, it's more than a few things. It's quite a lot of things. But, you know, let's hit the high points here so we don't bore everybody to tears. Obviously, Davidoff Cigars of Geneva is out of Switzerland. They were neutral. They remain neutral, so they say. Founded by Zeno Davidoff, its home headquarters right now is Basel, Switzerland. It does have a holding company that owns it proper because the Davidoff brand and the Zeno accessory brand have been, they are divested even though they're under the same holding company. So where did it come from is the interesting thing. So its obviously name originates from a Russian Empire-born Jewish founder, Zeno Davidoff. It's housed in Switzerland, where this was actually an interesting. Zeno started this company quite a long time ago. He started it in 1946, just after World War II. He is the founder and owner, and at that time, he was doing cigars named after various formats. They were called Chateau series, and those were named after different chateaus, famous chateaus in Bordeaux, in France. Mm-hmm. I can say I've never seen any of those. I don't know, Lewis, have you ever seen any of those series?
I can't recall, and that doesn't mean I haven't. I can't recall if I did or did not. I mean, throughout the years, there have been so many different labels, if you will, with Davidoff in his series. So yeah, I'm not going to say no, that, you know, that if it's in the article, then trust the article. It's been on the market.
Yeah. You know, I trust the article, and I trust the source I got it from, which is a mixture between Half Wheel, Cigar Aficionado, and a few others, because, you know, they're Davidoff. One of the things that's been difficult for looking at this is how tight-lipped they are about themselves. So I'm flying on faith that well-reputable cigar publications have their facts straight.
Oh, absolutely.
So in 1967, we jump forward, you know, 20 years, basically. Mr. Davidoff was approached by Cuba Tobacco, which at that point was Cuba State Tobacco Monopoly, about creating a line of cigars carrying that name. They did get into partnership. They were rolled in a newly established El Laguito factory in, of course, Havana, which had been established to roll, get this one, this is kind of fun, which had been established to roll Cuban President Fidel Castro's own personal cigars named Cohiba. It's entirely possible, guys, that Maria Sierra could have touched some of these cigars in the Davidoff line too, because she was, after all, Castro's personal roller.
Wow.
So in 68, the first cigars carrying the Davidoff name were released. The first formats were the number one and the number two. I'm going to butcher this, but I believe it's the Ambassadress. 1971, Davidoff released the size, but they released their mini cigarillos. It's one of the lines that we carry here at Tobacco Republic. I like them a lot. They're really good. The Zeno line is really, really good. It steps through. I mean, the articles are there online. I'm going to skip a few points because it's a lot of these are the high dates of when these different series came out. But the Zeno Davidoff group was spun out in 1980 to exclusively market non-tobacco luxury goods such as watches, leather goods, pens, fragrances, eyewear, coffee, cognac, things like that. There was a time, we're not going to talk about what the public health department had to say about that. We'll skip that. Yeah. So there were some disputes going on between Zeno Davidoff and Cuba Tobacco about who actually owned Davidoff at that point. So in 1990, in August of 89, the company decided to part ways. and this is kind of a fun fact, he actually publicly burned over 100,000, this hurts my heart right now, 100,000 cigars that he had deemed low quality and unfit to sell. I got to respect a man that's burning his own product because it's not fit for the public. That is, it's cool, but it's like the tobacco abuse level is epic.
That's not the way I would have burned it, just saying.
Well, you know, he has a standard for his quality, and his name is the brand.
Absolutely.
And so you want to protect your brand. You don't want to have it diminished by putting out a inferior product. So he's like, you know what? No, burn it. We'll keep going otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. So 1991, let's jump to a little bit more recent era here. 1991, the first Dominican-made Davidoff cigar was launched, continuing the line. With the move to the Dominican Republic, the Chateau series was renamed the Grand Cru, and individuals were numbered instead of carrying names of the vineyard estates. Also in 91, he created a series called the Anniversario series, and I know there's a lot of those in that humidor right now. I smoked one the other day. It was a double R Anniversario, and it was an amazing cigar.
Yes, it is.
Cough.
Oh.
The price point, cough.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You can't take it with you when you're dead, baby. No, enjoy it while you can.
It's absolutely true. And the biggest thing that I want our listeners to remember, when we scoff at the price, we live and record in California. This state instituted several years ago by voter approval what is now, if I remember correctly, a 65% tax on OTP, also known as other tobacco products. So our cigars literally went up between, depending on the price point of the cigar, between $3 and $8 overnight.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't think that we're saying that they're overpriced, because they're not. In this state, they are overpriced because of taxes.
California taxes suck.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to jump now to 2010. Actually, let's back up a minute. So 1991, the Anniversario series came out. 92, the special series, the special R's were released. Unfortunately, we lost Zeno in 1994. At the age of 87, he passed away in Geneva. So the company was taken, is running now. It's still in production. They're still making fine cigars. I am not certain. The articles don't specify who's running the company now. And if you try to look on their website, that's impossible to bloody find. So I don't know who's running the company now, but nonetheless. In 2013, it's one I smoked, and I actually smoked the Nicaragua series, first production line of Davidoff to incorporate Nicaraguan tobacco into their cigars, and the first series of Davidoff Cuban products, which were made using tobaccos not sourced in the Dominican. I actually smoked one of those when we were at Davidoff in Las Vegas last year, and it's a great cigar as well. I have yet to find a Davidoff that hasn't been phenomenal, and it's a testament to the quality control that they have.
Absolutely.
My last couple points here real quick. You know, they still are making things out of the Dominican. They have a very diverse portfolio right now. In 2015, Davidoff released the Escuro series. I have not seen that
Escurio.
One.
Escurio.
Thank you, Escurio. I think we have that here.
Yes.
So come in and check it out. I don't know anything about it. I would yield to the tobacconist on that. Tobaccos for that are sourced from Brazil. That same year, 2015, is when my favorite, and that's actually one of my next questions for everybody, is what's your favorite Davidoff? So that being said, my favorite is obviously the Winston Churchill series. It's been one of my favorites, and I've seeked it out in different places when I've been on the road for my day job. It's just a great cigar. It's one of my favorites. It was launched in 2015, and in 2016, the Yamasa cigars were released, which is what Craig and Scott are smoking.
Well, Greg, if you like the Churchill, which I know you do, there's one that I would recommend for you on your next smoke, is the Winston Churchill, the Late Hour.
Oh, yes, I do love that one.
That's a great stick.
Yeah, I can remember my first one of those, too, and that's in another cigar shop in Reno that's one that we all like to visit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us which cigar shop that is Might be important. No,
it's a bit of a secret.
It's a secret, but let me tell you. It's called Fumari. It's in Reno. Dion is the owner. BJ and Robert are a couple of the guys that work there. They're amazing people. You know, you'll see us there from time to time. It is a bit of a drive, and we're moving into winter, so you probably won't see us over there as much as we normally do. But if you're in Reno and you want a fine cigar, check them out. It's really a great place to go. And that's my diatribe on Davidoff.
Well, I'll just, you know, talk a little bit about Davidoff. You know, this is one of my few Davidoffs that I've gone through. I mean, yeah, because of the price point, because I'm in California and didn't know too much about the brand. I know, you know, I've always considered Davidoff what I would affectionately call a white glove brand. And it's just...
You want to explain that one, Dinosaur?
You want to get bashed in the head with a glass of liquor, don't you?
Hey, why not? It could be fun.
Speaking of liquor, what are we drinking today, you say? What a fine and wonderful question.
Talk to me, brother. Okay. What are we drinking today?
We are drinking Diplomatico Rum. It is a fantastic rum, and we discovered this because Wes and I really like rum, and he was looking through the top 10 lists for best rums that people thought they were, and Diplomatico was consistently in the top three or the top one in a lot of the top rum lists. So he went down and bought a bottle, and we drank it. It was fantastically some of the best rum I've ever had. It's a Venezuelan dark rum, and it's distilled from molasses in a copper pot, and it's aged 12 years. It is a fantastic rum. It's got this sweetness, but it's not too sweet. It's got this great flavor. I love the rum. It's like what I want out of most rums. Yeah, it really is.
This is my first sample of the rum, and I have to agree with you. I mean, I'm getting that really deep, rich molasses taste, of course, because it's distilled from molasses, but a little bit of oakiness and very smooth, and truly enjoying it. Very good choice, brother.
Thank you.
It's the rum of choice in Venezuela.
See.
In Venezuela?
Yeah.
South America, baby. Everything's about rum.
Yeah, I was watching this. I was getting caught up on Jack Ryan, and there's a particular scene on, I think, episode 3 or 4, where Jack is sitting at the bar and he's drinking tequila, and the senator walks up to him and said, "What are you drinking?" He said, "You drinking tequila?" He said, "No, we're in Venezuela. In Venezuela, we drink rum, and this is good Venezuelan rum."
How is that series?
You know, it's good. I realized I actually binge-watched it to catch up on a lot of what I missed, because there's a lot of conversation going on in here at the lounge about Jack Ryan. I was like, I haven't watched anything that Tom Clancy has produced. I haven't read any of his books in a while, so let me get caught up. It's a very good series. I am enjoying it.
Okay.
Spent a little bit more time than I wanted to watching it today, but I'm sort of caught up. I got 2 more episodes for this series to watch, and then I'm there. I'm ready to talk about Jack Ryan.
I've seen it on is it Netflix or Prime? I don't remember which, but
it's on Prime.
Prime?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. It's been on, I like the Clancy series. So.
Yeah. But well, you know what? I don't want to leave our tobacconist out of any of this discussion with regards to the Davidoff line. So, Craig, how's that been flowing since it's been introduced to the shop?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, when we first got Davidoff in, we came in boxes, and as soon as the boxes came out, you know, a couple of patrons who came in here went in there, opened them up, like, this is exactly what I want. And before we even knew what they cost and whatever, people were like, I want that, I want that. It's like, okay. Just going out of here rather quickly and smoothly. I mean, people really like Davidoff, and I can see why, because most of us have smoked Davidoff for quite a while. My first one was many years ago, and it's one of those cigars like, oh, I remember when I was a Nublet cigar smoker. You know,
Nublet?
Nublet. You look at the price, and it's like, ah! And then you're just like, then you smoke it like, I understand why people pay this much money for a Davidoff, because it is really good.
Yeah.
I've never had a Davidoff that wasn't incredibly smooth. The tobacco just tastes incredibly clean. It's so well aged. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, not to steal any of Scott's thunder about the white glove reference, but it has an air of elegance to the shop. And the experience in and of itself, it's like, you know, Davidoff doesn't do anything low budget. And so when you have that product line in your shop or your tobacconist business, you don't want to cut corners. You know, there's various lounges that I've been to, some that were exclusively Davidoff of Geneva, that you, when you walk in, like you said earlier, Scott, with the Fifth Avenue store, you almost felt like you were walking into Henry Winston's, you know, to a high-end jewelry store, Tiffany's or something. It's like, wow, the appointment of everything is so pristine. It's like, wow, I don't even want to open a cabinet. Let somebody else open a cabinet and I'll take one of these, please. You know, it's that kind of experience. But you feel good about, I want to package this rightly. I don't want to give the wrong sense of who I am when I grab one of those sticks. But, you know, I had an air about me when I went into the shop and I came out with my cigar. I felt like I was part of the upper crust. It's like, okay, so I'm smoking a Davidoff. Now, you couldn't possibly do that in New York now, you know, because there's so many smoking restrictions. But I'll take the ticket. You know, give me the ticket. That's okay. The ticket's going to be less than this cigar, so let's go.
Yeah. I definitely describe you as crusty, sir. That's a good description with the upper crust.
That's just wrong.
That is just wrong, yeah. Yeah, just pick on the elder statesman of the group. Okay.
But I don't think any of the four of us would disagree because, you know, we were at a Davidoff store. We have been to, mind you, it's in Las Vegas. So that being said, even though you're sitting at the Davidoff bar and lounge on the Strip, the service is impeccable. The wait staff is dressed to the nines. Their tobacconist, unfortunately, Craig, is in a suit and tie and is more than willing to talk to you about anything in their line. They answer all their questions. It's just completely top notch.
Oh, you just brought something to mind. Craig, since you got on me, crusty, I like that. You got to step up your game, dude. You have Davidoff in the house now.
Yeah, that's where's right. The suit and tie?
This is as close to that as you're going to get, baby.
Jeans and cowboy boots.
That's right. What's wrong with
gaudy
that?
Gaudy cowboy boots at that.
These are America.
These are fantastic American cowboy boots, my friend. Don't bash.
Do not feel bad, sir.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
I love that movie, by the way. It's such a good movie. And speaking of the Davidoff store in Las Vegas, I don't know about the rest of you, but I didn't notice that there was anything else there besides the waitresses. I'm just saying.
Well, that was first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they were dressed to get you to spend money.
And I did, and it was worth it entirely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
You know, you missed on one thing.
Do tell. Please fill me in.
But there was just so much to talk about with Davidoff, with its line. But, you know, every year they come out with a particular theme, like, you know, the new release for 2020 is Year of the Rat.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've done the rat, the dog, the rooster. So it's all based on the Chinese calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so this new release for 2020 is Year of the Rat.
They're kind of encroaching on Liga's thing there.
Well, almost.
Speak your mind, sir. What are you talking about? This is Davidoff.
But with Davidoff, because Liga doesn't usually follow the Chinese calendar. You know, they have, you know, Velvet Rat. They did a lot of rats.
Yeah, they got the Dirty Rat, yeah. Velvet Rat.
But they're really good.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic cigars. But getting back to Davidoff is that, you know, they fall in the Chinese calendar and it's limited production. So if you get your hands on one or a box, you want to sit on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like one year I went up to Famari's and they had the Millennium and that's all they had left. And I didn't know much about that particular label at the time. And Dion said to me, he said, hey man, if you want to get these now, cause we're not getting them back. I got them. And my mistake was smoking and enjoying them a little too much that I had to actually hide them from myself.
Oh, man.
Because it was they're good. You know, there's nothing bad about any of the sticks that they put out. So, but yeah, there's a lot of recommends, but, you know, just I'd say, you know, treat yourself, you know, which is what I do with that line. And don't forget the Zeno line as well, because the Platinum and the Spectrum are two very good lines within the Davidoff house. And if you really want to step it up a notch, you know, they also are affiliated or have an affiliation with ST DuPont.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
In fact, my lighter tonight is a DuPont.
There you go. So, you know.
And I think you were with me when I bought it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what better way to just show up and say, yes, I have a Davidoff in my DuPont lighter and cutter.
Looks like I'm going to have to step up my Davidoff game.
Hey.
Well, you know, we got lots of selections in there now, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. I walked into there this evening, and I'm like, wow. A new way to spend my money. Mm. This is fun.
Not that we need any help with that, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, I think, you know, Lewis, you touched on that so well. That is, not only is it the essence of cigar smoking, but it is the essence of what Davidoff is elegance, grace, and enjoyment. It just is. And you know, for me, that's when, before Tobacco Republic started carrying Davidoff, it would be, I'm going over the hill with you guys. We're going to have a couple nice meals. We're going to smoke some good cigars. And that was usually my first cigar of choice, was something out of the Davidoff line. Sit down and utterly relax.
Right.
And then go into something heavier, because if you do it in the reverse, you certainly won't enjoy the cigar as well.
No, but it's a great way to finish off a great meal. Or if you are so inclined, and I have been, start your day off with one of these.
That's actually not a bad idea.
They go great.
I like that.
With a nice cup of coffee, you know, and just, you know, put you in the right mood. Say, you know what, I'm going to start my day off on a positive note, and I'm going to light a nice Davidoff. And you can't go down from there.
Yeah. So what else we got going on this week?
Well, we spoke on Rocky Patel coming to visit us on the 14th.
Yeah, that is going to be a blast.
You know, let's talk a little bit about Rocky Patel. I mean, when you talk cigars, you're talking about a cat who's a rock star in the cigar community. I mean, he puts out quality cigars and is also a great person and extremely, extremely accessible, him and his brother Nish. And I did a little bit of research on Rocky.
Don't forget Nimish.
Oh, and Nimish, without a doubt. You know, I did a little bit of research on Rocky for the show this evening, and something interesting I found out was, you know, he didn't start out in cigars. He was actually an entertainment and product liability attorney based out of L.A.,
yeah.
And he had clients like Schwarzenegger and Hackman.
An attorney?
Yeah.
He mild-mannered Rocky?
Yeah. I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, I saw that. I was like, I had to, like, you know, check sources, man. I mean, I had to go to the website and check it out. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, I thought Wikipedia or whatever was lying to me. You know, so, you know, I went to the more reliable sources such as Half Wheel, and actually went to the Rocky site. And, yeah, he was an entertainment attorney. And that's
impressive.
Yeah. And that's what gave him the exposure to cigars, being a part of that. He was also one of the founding members of the Grand Havana Club over in Beverly Hills. And, you know, I looked them up and checked out the club. It's a very exclusive club. Beautiful. I mean, it's a point of crazy. It's a, you know, exclusive private club, beautifully appointed. And I don't want to, you know, it's one of those where you have to email if you want to become a member, which tells me that I can't afford it.
Well, there's that. That's like the proprietor here told me one day, and we were just in jest having a conversation. He said, yeah, it's almost like when you go to buy a Bentley. If you got to ask,
you can't afford it.
There you go.
So, you know, as he gets this exposure with cigars, somebody comes up to him with a business plan to manufacture cigars. And he was invested in various things. And, you know, a lot of his friends were like, are you nuts? Now, Lou, you've been smoking for a while, so we're talking about the early, mid-90s. Mm-hmm. What was the cigar environment like at that time?
Well, we didn't have the number of boutique cigars that we do today. Mm-hmm. The lines weren't as extensive as they are today. A lot of what you could find back, you know, going some 30, 40 years ago, thank you for putting me on the spot, some 40 years ago, I mean, you can get, you know, a lot of the Partagas series and a lot of stuff that was made domestically. You get some stuff coming out of Nicaragua, but not to the degree that you're getting it now.
Right.
Now we have, like with Rocky, I lost count. I think he's got at least 40 different blends out there that is coming out of the Rocky Patel factory. And you didn't have the Drew Estate lines.
Right.
You didn't have the extensive line that you have with, say, Camacho or with some of these others that we that are carried here in Tobacco Republic. But it was also a different culture. A lot of guys weren't out on the street smoking cigars unless you were in a social club. But, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. But what you would do is you would have cigars made available to you if you went to the, say, Health and Racket Club, that what I was familiar with in New York. Some of the other, you know, well-heeled clubs where the guys from Wall Street would hang out. Or a back room in one of the bars where they allowed smoking back then. Because then, you know, you could sit down, have a meal, have a cigar. Yeah, now it's you got to find a particular venue for that. So it was a lot different then. But I would say we've come a long way in the level and quality of cigars that we have to available to us today that are not Cuban. Because back then, everybody was looking for Cuban cigars.
Right. You can even see that a little bit now. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, Rocky's friends were like, are you nuts? You know, are you really going to get into this? This, you know, is a dog. So along with his partner, Phil Zanghi, they formed Tobac, Indian Tobac to be specific. Phil Zanghi, thank you. I know I murdered that name.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead, Scott.
But he accepts the challenge, and Indian Tobac is born in 96 at the Retail Tobacco Dealers of America, which is now known as Premium Cigar Association. Before that, it was IPCPR. Thank you. I usually murder that, so I'm kind of glad they went to PCA. Cigars were rolled out of Honduras, and the American market just took it on. They loved it. And between Rocky and Phil, you know, the line included the Classic, the Maduro, the Super Fuente, the Cameroon Legend, and the Limited Reserve. And as a matter of fact, this cigar brand started what they called the Big Ring Gauge movement. They had about the early 2000s, the Indian Tobac Cameroon Legend Gorilla, which was the size of 6x58. And I'm wondering if anybody's ever smoked that.
Not here.
Not here.
Okay. Not that I'm picking on you, Lou, but you've smoked longer than all of us. So I figure around that time, because, you know, I was a noob around 96, 97. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what I was smoking, and I figured you were deep into it, so you might know something about it. So.
No, I was deep into it, but I limit myself on how big a ring gauge I'm going to smoke, only because I learned early on is that the bigger the ring gauge, the more diminished the flavor is for me. So I tend to stay below that 58.
Yeah, it took me about 12 years to figure that out. I thought, big ring gauge, you know, I think we talked about this in size and ring gauges. I'm a big guy, 6'5", 270 pounds. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to look ridiculous smoking, say, a Panatella, but that's where all the flavor's at.
Exactly. And I did not want to walk around or sit in a lounge looking like I'm smoking a sausage.
You strike me as somebody who smokes a pole regularly.
Oh,
that's just wrong.
Shots fired.
Okay. Rules of engagement. I got it now.
Pimp down. So anyway, you know, Indian Tobac is rolling along. In about 2003, the brand diminished a little bit because Rocky was working on a new line of cigars, his namesake. And the Tobac name didn't really disappear until about 2006 when Rocky Patel changed the name from Indian Tobac to Rocky Patel Premium Cigars, headquartered out of Naples, Florida, which is also where their flagship lounge Burn is. They established that in 2010. Now, yeah, I'm sorry, Lou, if it seems like I'm picking on you.
Oh, no, it's quite all right.
You about the only one who's had the opportunity to go to a burn lounge. And I know that in 2018 and this year, Rocky opened up several burn lounges in Atlanta, OKC, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis. And I pulled it up on the website, and my mind was blown, man. But you, I know you were the one out, the one in Pittsburgh.
It's a great lounge. Actually, I saw pictures of some of the finished product from Nish that he had taken of the lounge itself. And, you know, if you want to talk about elegance, this is a very elegant lounge to go hang out in. And it happens to be right downtown where the Three Rivers meet in Pittsburgh. And it's across from actually a restaurant from another Pittsburgh celebrity, Jerome Bettis's restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So I went to Jerome Bettis's restaurant, ate, and then went over to check out Burn. And it's oh, man, it's a great place. Can't wait to get back to it. And Rocky also, I don't know if you saw that in your research, he also has a very exclusive lounge that's even higher end than the Burn lounges.
Really? Where,
yeah. They have, I believe, and I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe they have personal chefs that come in and prepare food for the members. But the membership of to be a participant of this lounge is going to cost you quite a bit of paper.
That's something like the Grand Havana Club in Beverly Hills, which is extremely well appointed. Yeah. I mean, beautifully designed. And I didn't see much on chefs, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had that as well. And in fact, I don't know if I mentioned, Rocky was a founding member of that club in Beverly Hills.
Probably where the idea was conceptualized for his place.
Exactly.
I saw photos of it and I said, well, one day, you know, when I hit Lotto, I guess I can do that.
Yeah, that, you know what, you know, if I hit Lotto, there's a couple of things I'm going to do. Number one, I am getting a membership to that club and Rocky's club. And the third thing I'm going to do is go to the Valhalla Shooting Club over in Colorado.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a nice shooting club. I mean, basically with your membership, you get a engraved 1911 numbered by your member number.
Wow.
Some of the members include General Schwarzkopf, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay, very impressive.
And yeah, I mean, back in the early 2000s, I think membership was about 48,000
a year.
I think it was a flat it was like 48,000 plus maintenance fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the maintenance fees are still going to cost you a little something.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the initial cash outlay is going to be up there. And, you know, one of the things, too, with a lot of the brands Rocky was speaking about now is you get a lot of different cigars that are regional. You know, they're limited release for the states that they're in. And I know, you know, we talked about Davidoff earlier, and they do, I know they have a Tampa, they do a Florida Sun Grown, and, you know, there's some that if you're traveling abroad, you might find something in Brussels that you won't find here.
Wow.
In the same line. And it's just, it's phenomenal. I like trying stuff like that. You know, I go places like, you know, okay, you know, this particular cigar is only released in Texas. Okay, well, let me grab this and see what this is like.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but with Rocky, I know with his lines, getting back to him, is that he's got a lot of lines that he had introduced early on in the 2006 to 2010 era.
Yeah.
That were very, very good. And then They kind of went away. You know, the Autumn Blend was one that I enjoyed when it was released. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact year, but I remember when it first hit the market, it was a great stick. And then he started coming out with, I think, the 15th, and then, you know,
yeah, he started rolling with those. And as a matter of fact, around 2015, the Indian Tobacco line was discontinued, and it was the remaining stock was acquired by Cigars International. So, and I looked at Cigars International. I didn't see much of anything at this point. And, you know, then Rocky started concentrating on his brand.
Right.
Well, Indian Tobacco was his brand, but actually the new name and really focusing on that. The one thing about the Patel cigar is it's extremely complex. He's a believer in using wrapper, binder, and filler from different regions. You'll never get like a cigar from just one region. He likes to play and experiment with blends. He's being interviewed by Cigar Aficionado, and, you know, he'll grab a cigar, take a smoke at it, and just, you know, it's spicy, but not going to work. And he's like a mad scientist. He enjoys the blending and combining the leaves from different regions. He has two facilities for manufacturing, one in Esteli, Nicaragua, and one in Danley, Honduras. And I know I'm going to murder this because my Spanish is meh, is Perazo in Honduras municipality. It's a 120,000-square-foot facility employing 500 people. And some of the lines that are manufactured out of the Honduran factory are the Catch 22, which I didn't know about. I'd be curious to see what that's like. In Connecticut and Natural, Maduro, the Decade, the Sun Grown, the Edición Única, the Martinique, the Edge line, and the 20th line, as well as the Vintage 92, 99, and 2003 cigars are done in that facility. And then you have, and didn't know this, Tavacusa, the factory out in Esteli, they produce the 15th anniversary, the Bold and Zen cigars that were created by Rocky's brother, Nish.
Right.
The Gary Sherfield, and, you know, I was looking on the website and looking at the Gary Sherfield and the Grand Reserve. Well, actually, the Gary Sherfield, and I had never heard of that. I'd be curious to check it out.
Yeah.
The Java line, the 2006 San Andreas, and, of course, the Tavacusa. Now, if you haven't had the Tavacusa, if he doubled the price on that cigar, I'd still smoke it. Yeah. I mean, it's at a very reasonable price point, even in California. Craig, you turned
me
onto that.
I'll remember that next time you want one.
Yeah, charge him twice.
Yeah.
You just set yourself up for that one, Robinson.
Well, see, I know better now. But Craig wouldn't do that to me.
I would never do such a thing, sir. I'm an honest salesman. Come on now.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Pinocchio.
Every time I lie, the tips of my shoes get longer.
But yeah, anything you get from Rocky Patel, you cannot go wrong with. My go-to is the 20th. Anything in the 20th line, I mean, it's just sensational. How about you, Lou? What is your go-to Patel cigar?
Well, I'm all over the map, and I haven't smoked a lot of Rockies lately, only because I'm trying to explore some of the other cigars out there. But I'm still a fan of the Old World. Not a bad stick, and the 15th is still a good smoke for me. But I want to segue that into go to Craig, because, you know, we have a wall, and I say we because I'm part of the shop, of Rocky Patel. And what do we have right now available here in-house, Craig?
About
15, 20 different brands of...
Well, he's got an entire wall.
Yeah.
And then it bleeds over into another wall, and then there's a place somewhere else because we ran out of room. We have a lot of Rockies.
What about you, Greg? What's your Rocky go-to?
My go-to, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the Edge Sumatra, because it is a wonderfully complex spice cigar at an incredibly reasonable price point. But when I want something more elegant and something more special, I tend to go to one that you had mentioned, the Old World Reserve.
Yeah.
And I have I'd love your input on that because you and I have both smoked the original blends.
Yeah.
The Old World Corojo and the Old World Maduro.
Right.
Unfortunately, Rocky ran out of that tobacco and discontinued those lines approximately 7-8 years ago, I think.
Somewhere around.
And now he has been able to acquire, it's not the same tobacco, but he's been able to reblend and bring them back.
Right.
They're both phenomenal cigars. They're new iterations. But do you notice, I wish you guys could hear what's going on next door. do you find a vast difference in the older one versus the new one?
the older was better. And that's a problem when you can't get that same strain of tobacco. And so, you know, the master blender is challenged with trying to keep it consistent. Mm-hmm. It's still a good cigar today, but Absolutely. It's not what it was when it was initially released. And that's unfortunate because, you know, that's something that when you find something that really has that flavor and taste profile that you enjoy, you want to keep that consistency there. So every time you light it, you know what to expect. Now it's a little bit different. So you got to get used to what it is today versus what you had. But, you know, we know what it was like.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the other thing that breaks my heart a little bit. You used to be able to get the old line in Lancero.
Yeah.
The new one only comes in Toro.
Yeah, that's hey, Rocky, if you we get a chance to talk to you when you're here. We need to talk.
Oh, you know we're going to.
So let's have some Lanceros specially made for the shop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, one of the things I want to say too is for folks out there, if you ever get an opportunity to meet Rocky, if he's live at an event. I mean, this cat is on the road 300 days out of 365 days in a year. Everything from California to Moscow. I mean, he's all over the place visiting folks. And the thing is, he loves talking to folks. He's, like I said, he's extremely accessible, really good guy, very personable. And just, you know, come on, you know, if you see him at an event or if you know where he's going to be, it would be well worth it for you to go pay him a visit. Also, he usually runs some deals when he's out and about. So if you say buy a box or two, he's got some sensational swag.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And on top of that, as most people know by now, he's a staunch advocate for us with going to, you know, to Congress to fight for our tobacco rights.
Right on.
And he's got a lot of information. I remember a few years back, I was down in the barrier in California, down in Walnut Creek, California. And Rocky did one of his speeches about what he was about to do as he was headed to D.C. And I was impressed with the breadth of knowledge that he had and everything that he was championing for us as cigar lovers. And I say, wow, man, you know, I wanted to join them. I was like, dude, you know, because for someone to come out and articulate in the manner in which he did about what this culture means to us, it made everybody, actually, he got an applause from everybody, and there was about 200 people in attendance there that said, yeah, you know what, you're the right spokesperson to do this. You know, and thank you for doing it because,
absolutely,
you know, we're not talking, you know, about cigarettes. We're not talking about with today's culture of vaping. We're talking about cigars, which is not treated in the same manner that cigarettes are. They're not chemically treated. They don't have all these other additives and so forth. So, again, I've been smoking for over 40 years now, and I'm not that old, but I've been smoking for over 40 years now. And I know people that have been smoking well into their 90s, and there's some notable celebrities that have gone, and some non-celebrities have gone to, you know, 100 years old and smoking cigars for as long as I've been alive, and they've not had issues with smoking cigars. So I enjoy this, you know, and I don't want my rights taken away or diminished because somebody's sensitive about cigar tobacco, you know. They'll take a cigarette before they take cigars, and I don't get that.
I've never understood that.
You know, but it's like, you know, you go to any one of these establishments that are, you know, casino, hotel related, and they tell you you can't smoke a cigar, but you can smoke cigarettes. No, that's wrong. You know, the cigarette, the vile aroma that you get off a cigarette offends me.
Yeah, stale cigarette even. And how many times have you heard from someone, male or female, as you're smoking a cigar, and it's like, oh my God, that smells so good, or reminds them of something. We've touched upon this on previous shows. It's like, it reminds me of my father. It reminds me of, you know, this person, and it just smells so good. It's not that hacky coffee chemical crap that you're getting through cigars.
Right.
I mean, cigarettes, excuse me.
Yeah, it invokes a good, pleasant memory of a time past. And I've had that. I've had women walk up to me. I've even had guys walk up and say, oh, man, that smells good. What are you smoking? And, you know, I'm one, you've asked the right question. I'll tell you what I'm smoking and where you can get it. You know, and I'll give you a lesson if you listen. You got time, I'll tell you something real quick about what to do in cigar culture. But that's what you won't get that from a cigarette smoker.
Not at all.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things too, and you know, chime in, gentlemen, if you know you agree or not. But you know, when it comes to a cigarette, it's one of those hot box quick. It's not a relaxed experience. With a cigar, time slows down. You're sitting back.
Time slows down. Conversations ensue.
Exactly.
You get a lot of, and you know what? Aside from you guys, I'm telling you, you know, anywhere you go, you meet a wonderful group of people that you might wind up forming a friendship with, and some of those friendships last a lifetime. And the conversations are good because you're not sitting there hotboxing a cigarette.
Right.
You're sitting down, you're taking time to slow down, enjoy life a little bit, and smoke the cigar and enjoy the company that you're with. That's one of the things that keeps me involved with this. And let's not leave out the wonderful people in the industry that you meet.
No
Absolutely,
doubt.
Yeah.
Aside from the reps that you may encounter, the manufacturers that you will encounter, and some of the shops that you go to, and there's some interesting characters that are in these shops, you know, Craig being one of them.
I'm in a category all by myself.
Yes, you are, sir.
You know, and I think that's, you know, that, you know, we talk about time in relation to smoking a cigar. You know, I think one thing the listeners should know, you know, we all start a cigar at the beginning of the recording to smoke as we talk to you. And we do that for two purposes. One, to have you guys get our perspective on the different cigars that we smoke. But two, for us to enjoy while we're taking this time to talk with you good folks. But I think what might interest most of you is we all start a cigar at the beginning of the episode. We're not usually done smoking when we end with you guys. And in fact, tonight Craig's on his second cigar now for the podcast. So, you know,
I'm on my fifth or sixth cigar for the day.
That's true.
Oh, you going slow, man. You should have it. You've been here, what, 8 hours, 10 hours? You should have.
I do actually have to do work at certain points, you know, sometimes. Not all the time.
You don't say.
You call this work?
I don't work for corporations, son. I don't call this work.
That's true. So, you know, it is one of our great enjoyments in life, I think. And I can't speak for everybody, but for me, you know, Wes getting me into cigar smoking and then Wes and I getting Craig into cigar smoking, the amount of friendships, very close friendships, like the four of us that are here tonight and all of us that you hear on the recording, there's that core group and there's also an expanded group of my friends that are here in the lounge. It's an amazing, I don't want to call it a hobby because it's not a hobby. Someone chime in and help me with this.
I think close is an overstatement. I mildly tolerate all of you.
Call it a lifestyle because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. We integrate cigar smoking in, you know, a lot of things that we do. A lot of us are shooters, hunters, or non-hunters.
Bite me.
Hey, bag a deer and we'll talk.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, and I don't want to bash cigarette smokers. We've said enough there. But what I have experienced throughout the years of my smoking is if you're sitting somewhere, and whether you have a cigar or not, typically what happens is someone will offer you a cigar. I've had that happen on a number of occasions. Like, oh, what are you smoking? Don't light that. Have this, smoke
yes.
this. And I'm like, okay, because I do it because not that I want to brag about what I've given someone, because usually when I give somebody a cigar, I forget that I gave it to them. It's like, that's yours, smoke it, enjoy it. And that's what I want them to do. And I feel that's what's happening when I get one. It's like, hey, I just want you to enjoy this like I'm enjoying it. Try this cigar. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of that. And then price doesn't even matter. Try this cigar out. I think you'll like it. And you know what? If you like it, and Greg, I do apologize because I know I put you into a feral pig one time.
Yes, you did.
And it kind of messed you up. But it opened up your experience and exposed you to what else is out there.
And in fact, you've done it again, and you have forgotten my cigar for approximately a month from now for the recording. You gave me last year on my birthday, and that is the UF4, and I still have it, and I'm waiting to smoke that one.
Oh, okay, enjoy.
That's Thank okay. You. I've ruined you many a times.
Yeah, we ain't going to talk about that. I seem to recall a rather expensive box that was brought in from Jamaica, maybe. I don't remember where that came from, but I know... I don't remember what your code name was for that one, but anyway, Operation Cuban Liberation. Yes, I remember it was General Juma and Mr. Reddington were liberating cigars. Yeah. You've ruined me on certain palates, but I also learned something too. And not to sound pious, arrogant, egotistical, whatever you want to put to it, but in knowing you two. And in smoking the wonderful cigars that you guys have given me, I've learned a couple of things. One, someone else's choice to give to you can do one of two things. In my case, every time it has been a palate expansion, which has been a wonderful experience. But other is Cuban cigars are wonderful cigars. Mm-hmm. I do not understand... Correction. I understand the hype around them in the United States because they are forbidden.
But sure.
I think the people that chase Cubans consistently are really doing themselves a disservice because of the fact of that humidor across from us is a testament to what the industry has become in spite of the embargo.
Right.
In spite of not being able to get Cubans in the United States.
Right.
It's very true.
You know, there's so many great cigars.
There's so much goodness coming out of Nicaragua, as well as Dominican Republic.
Yes.
Honduras.
Costa Rica. Honduras. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you relegate yourself to one particular brand, and that's all you want to smoke, you're going to miss the mark on a lot of what's out there that you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I tell, you know, those that I know that say, oh, I only smoke, I got a friend of mine, he said, oh, I only smoke Upmans. Like, yeah, you might want to stretch out a little bit. So I did the same thing to him. And when they were sitting down, I stopped him from lighting his cigar, said, try this. And I don't remember what I gave him, but I remember he came up here and he, you know, it was a pleasant visit, and he went into the humidor, and that shocked him because he's like, wow, I don't know what to pick. And nothing he selected was what he was normally smoking. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, I appreciate what you did. He said, because this is all I've been smoking. I said, well, try something new.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Expansion of the mind, man.
Yeah. Free your mind, and you'll we'll follow.
Uh-huh. I feel like we need to be dropping acid right about now. Jesus Christ.
Groovy, dude. You didn't know? We already took us. Catch up.
Yes.
And you dig it.
Catch up. So you know, you've been fairly quiet tonight, Craig. What, any thoughts, anything like that on you know, the lines we've talked about, et cetera?
You know, not really. I think we covered it pretty well.
I think the rum's working.
It could be too.
I haven't drank that much, baby. I need a little more.
Yeah, our favorite, adorable Craig is not out yet.
Oh no! Doesn't take much alcohol, but it takes a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. No, that was pre-broadcast. Yeah. The one that you guys don't hear,
aka the machine.
The machine. But you know, and I think. You know, in getting to know you guys, too, in this whole experience, not to get so sappy about it, but, you know, I would have never thought to take cigar trips like we've done, our trip to Vegas to the Big Smoke, our now recurring trip to Denver to the Rocky Mountain Cigar Festival. You know, how cool is it to be in a place, whether it be the Omni Interlochen, where all roads lead to Interlochen and all are named Interlochen, or be it the Mirage in Vegas for Big Smoke, where you're surrounded by fellow brothers and sisters of the Leaf, and that's what the talk is, cigars. It's what they're doing, what they're smoking, you know, what new line have they discovered. It's just such an amazing experience.
It is, and I just like the vast array of people that you will encounter and meet that are cigar smokers. And again, you know, no one's walking around being staunchy, yeah, because you're from your laborer, blue collar worker to your suit and tie guy, you're gonna meet a variety of people in every vocation in life you can possibly think of. And guess what? When you sit down and you light a cigar, your job or whatever your career choice is doesn't really matter, mm-hmm. you know. And again, and I said this in, I believe in our episode 1 or 2, and we talked about it. It's like if you come into a unfamiliar place and you don't know the room, read the room first before you start talking, mm-hmm. because you never know who's sitting in that room and who might be able to call you out on your stuff that you're talking about where you don't know what you're talking about.
A $26,000 fuel dumped into a helicopter comes to mind.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I used to be a sniper. You know, come on.
I think that was pre-Craig.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't here for that one. I wasn't here for either one of those, actually. I'm actually kind of happy about that.
That was one of my first tours into the shop. I got the pleasure of listening to stories about someone shoving Jet A into a helicopter. Yeah. Or landing a freaking bomber on an aircraft carrier.
Landing a B-1 Lancer on an aircraft carrier, which can't happen.
Can't.
I was not military, but I did work on systems weapons engineering for the Navy. And I'm like, wait. That don't add up.
No, it didn't make sense. But you know, again, you know, it's you don't come into the lounge to put on airs, because for my dollar, you're not gonna fit in, and then for this place, oh God, if you're thin skinned, you won't fit in.
Oh no, not at all.
So that was my initiation coming into this lounge. Is, you know, and I think I said this, so I'm repeating myself, but as soon as I popped in the door, it was like shots fired. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for letting me know the rules of engagements, because I can hang with you, because mm-hmm. I can fire back. And then it was like, you're welcome. Come on in. Have a sit. Don't just, because I used to come in and grab a stick and go. But that first time I stepped in the door and decided, yeah, I'm going to try to hang out, it was like, you fit in. We want you to sit down and have a conversation with us. And you know what? This has been home for the past 12 years.
Yeah. And for me, wow, it's been 10 years come next month.
It's been about 7 for me, I think. I think I came aboard in 2013 mm-hmm. when Whitey was still here. Yeah. In fact, he's one of the first cats I met when I came to the shop. And we kind of
said, you poor soul, did someone rescue you?
No, it was all good because, you know, Whitey was from L.A., you know, from East Los. And we sat there and talked about East Los Angeles and all sorts of stuff. I mean, Whitey, and I miss that dude.
Well, just to clarify, because we don't want the listeners to think that we're making any ethnic references, that was his call sign.
Yes it was. Valentine Craig, as he is known by his real name, was a mechanic on an aircraft carrier in World War II. He took care of the F4U Corsair. And in fact, if you do come visit the lounge, there's a wonderful picture that someone photoshopped the Tobacco Republic logo and the bullet holes. So don't think that we've been around that long, because we haven't. But he was an amazing, amazing individual. And when you could drag him kicking and screaming to talk about World War II, the stories were absolutely incredible, even though, you know, he did not see combat, but still, absolutely amazing person to know.
A great character.
Yeah, he was.
I enjoyed him, and he's missed.
Yeah, he is missed, especially cat. especially the penchant for copping a feel.
Oh yeah,
I miss his stories. You know, like he'd go to a coffee shop and flirt with one of the waitresses, and he's in his 90s, and she'd be like, oh, you're cute, and he'd look at her and go, honey, if I was 18, your boyfriend wouldn't stand a chance.
Yes, that was Whitey.
Yep.
Oh, well, hell, when he lost his license, when they finally took it away from him because he couldn't drive anymore, the baristas at the coffee shop were like, oh, if you want us to take you to get your prescriptions or go to the store, just give us a call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a smooth criminal, that guy was.
He was smooth until the day he died.
Yeah, I'm sure somewhere overseas in Indonesia that there's a bunch, there's an island of kids that look like
the gene pool's irreparably damaged.
I remember one of the actual one of the tobacconists that I replaced when I was working here when he retired and left Costa Rica. Every Friday night he would, you know, we normally would hang out here till the wee hours of the morning, but every Friday night at 8 o'clock, it was get the hell out of here. I got to close this up because he and Whitey would go have dinner, and you know, it was the highlight of Whitey's week to have dinner with Rich. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that people do here. It's just, it's an amazing group of people.
Yeah. Can't say it enough. If you, and this is just not here, I would imagine, I'd venture to guess that in most of the lounges across the nation, you're going to, you know, form some friendships and relationships with people that will be there for you in any way possible because they care about you and you're part of the brotherhood or the sisterhood of the leaf. And it's just been that way, and it's been my experience since I've been coming here, and I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Without a doubt.
Well, gents, I have one final question before we go.
Fire away, brother.
If you had the option, money is not an option, what car would you buy?
Ooh.
Bowler Wildcat.
I knew that answer right off the bat. One of the best SUVs on the planet.
I talk about it constantly. Come mm-hmm. on now.
Lou?
I'm going to defer to Scott for a minute because I got to ponder that.
Okay.
See, my problem is that what I want, I can't fit in. Like a Bugatti, you know.
Wait a minute. If Jeremy Clarkson, that is 6'5" and nearly 300 pounds, can fit into it, you can fit into it.
Here's the problem. You got to bend down and get into it. I mean, it's like, I don't want to do that on a daily basis.
So are you telling me a walker is coming in your near future?
Oh, hell no. Now, I want something I want to step up into. But, you know, if I had my druthers, yeah, I'd say like a royal blue Bugatti.
A Veyron or a Chiron?
Veyron, baby.
Nice.
Okay. You know, I'm going to stick with, I don't want to climb up and down and all that. That's too much exercise getting in and out of a car for me. Although I do love the Aston Martin brand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the Vantage is a beautiful car. However, Rolls Royce has an SUV.
Yes, it does.
That I would love to have, money being no problem, because you're riding around in luxury and you're sitting up at a high vantage point. And it gets down the road real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So for my money and the fact that the cost of ownership won't break my pockets because I can get that service as opposed to getting some of these, you know, Koenigsegg or one of these other cars where, you know, it's, you got to ship it off somewhere because they got to service your car.
Right. Yeah,
I want something that I can get service, relatively locally. And be fine. Oh, if they got to ship it to England, no problem. I'll go to England and we'll drive around in a leased or a loaner,
mm-hmm.
similar to what I already have, and just enjoy the countryside because I would love to be able to do that.
I agree with you.
Or better still, a fully decked out BMW X7. Completely decked out and do one of those programs. I know Mercedes does it. I think BMW does it as well, where you go to the factory, pick out everything you want, they build it.
Yeah. Yep. My son is, I love him dearly, but he wanted me to do that because he's in Germany, stationed there. And I was looking at a Porsche, looking at the 911. He said, "Dad, you know, you can go ahead and order it, and I'll pick it up for you." No.
Yeah, somehow I don't think that'd be good.
Yeah, that was kind of slick.
Next thing you know, it's crashed, and you got to get it fixed before it comes all the way back.
No, he's a good driver, but I want my butt to be the second butt in that seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can take it out on the track in Stuttgart and just run it through its paces.
Yeah, as you look at the mileage and go, how did you put like 6,000 miles on my damn car?
Yeah. Oh, no, that, yeah.
Why are the back seats all sticky?
Wait, you clearly have never been in a 911. They don't have a back. Well, they have a back seat, but it's about 12 inches.
Okay, why is the passenger seat all sticky?
Yeah, because you'd have to be a contortionist to sit in the back seat and do anything.
Absolutely, especially, you know, as tall as you are and your boys are. Yeah, not a chance in hell.
No, not happening.
Now, see, I'm kind of stuck because, like you, I am in love with the Aston Martin brand. They're beautiful cars, and if price were no option, I'm kind of stuck between two.
Okay.
I know I can only pick one.
Yeah. Okay.
So the two of them would be an Aston Martin DB5.
Yeah.
And what would be expensive would be I would take it to Alpina and have Alpina completely redo it underneath so it is a completely modern car.
Oh.
With the DB5. So you're looking at, you're already talking a million, you know, probably an $800,000 car as it is. Now you're probably talking $1.5 million to $1.8 million.
Right.
If money were no option. The other one for me would be far less expensive, but would be more practical in this ludicrous world we're discussing, would be a Ferrari 458. Nice car. I can fit in it. It's fantastic to drive. But if I had to choose one of the two, I'm going with that DB5.
There you go.
Only because I want the ejector button and be able to launch people out that second seat, you know.
Hey, okay.
But
we can dream, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it going to come with a scotch glass and scotch bottle in the glove compartment?
I certainly hope so.
Fold out nicely with a tray of ice?
Yes, and I want the little techno screen that Bond had in that one, too.
Well, not only that, come on, guys.
Does Ava Green come with the car? Because I'm 100% on board if that's the case.
Because you got to have a humidor in the center console.
That's true. If you want a Range Rover, they come with humidors in the trunk.
Yeah. Well, I like mine in the center console because when I put the top, you know, I drop the top, I'm lighting up. So, yeah, money being no option, fantasy being what it is, you turn it into reality. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Love it.
Final thoughts before we go?
Well, Craig, what do you say over there?
Good night and God bless.
Yeah, though, Freddie Fabulous over here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Scott, what do you say, man?
Well, you know, it's great to be back, and I'm going to be gone again for a couple of weeks, but, you know, I had a great time tonight. Reminds me why I love and enjoy doing this show. I mean, it's just an awesome time to sit back and talk cigars with you guys, you know, and share, you know, our knowledge with the public. It's just a great feeling. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And I want to once again say, hey, I truly enjoy and appreciate the folks who listen in on a weekly basis, our subscribers. I would ask that, you know, folks, you know, drop us a line and let us know what you think. Or if you got an idea for an episode or something you want us to talk about, hey, let us know.
Yeah, that's very good. Good takeaway. And for me, I just love the feedback and still talking to people and getting them introduced to what it is that we do. We talk about a plethora of things related directly to the cigar and the cigar culture, as well as things outside of that, staying true to Beyond the Humidor. And, you know, we're looking forward to receiving a lot more feedback. Not just face-to-face, but via, you know, social media, emails, and so forth. And also doing some more cigar reviews. There's a couple of people that have reached out directly that say they want, you know, they're interested in sending us either a cigar or their product, be it an accessory or something that's related to cigars. And so once we get those things in-house, we're going to talk about them because we appreciate you supporting us in what we're doing. And I look forward to just doing some more cigar reviews. And, this is wonderful. I've been absent for a couple of weeks as well, a couple of episodes that I haven't been in on. Life being what it is, we got a lot of stuff to do. This isn't my 9-to-5, but, you know, I wish it were. And we still committed to this, dedicated to doing it, and do appreciate the fact that people are listening in.
Yeah, I second that. Everybody who listens, we thank you. And, you know, if you want to get in touch with us, there's several different ways. There's our email, which is beyondthehumidor@gmail.com. There is also social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. And also, you know, if you need to, if you want to keep in touch with the latest goings on, there's also our website, LumaCigarCartel.com. You know, if you guys are in the area, come on into Tobacco Republic. Check it out. We are open 7 days a week. They practically never close. This includes Thanksgiving and Christmas. Someone will be here if you need to get away from your family. You know, and hey, come on in this Thursday night. Rocky's going to be here from 3 to 7. If you want to meet them, some of us are going to be here. It's just going to be a hell of a fun night. And with that, you know, once again, I want to thank all our servicemen and women and our retired servicemen and women for everything they do. We at home greatly appreciate that. And we look forward to seeing everybody on the next episode of Beyond the Humidor.
And that's a wrap.